The word today is Peter. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Peter was the outspoken leader of the disciples. He was self-confident and had very strong opinions that at times got him into trouble. Here from our archives to help us learn from Peter's example is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Peter.
I'm going to be talking about one of the apostles today, and I believe you'll find it interesting. Hopefully it'll be educational for us too, because we're going to be talking about one of the great leaders. He was kind of the spokesman for the group. His name was Peter. You remember he was Simon, and God gave him, through his son Jesus Christ, the new name Peter, Petros, the rock. And I want to use him as an illustration of what happens sometimes when we decide to follow Christ. You know, there are all different types of people, and God wants all of us to be his followers. There are introverts, extroverts, and then the people that are just kind of in the middle that I call middleverts. In other words, they aren't too boisterous or too loud. On the other hand, they're not totally quiet either. They're just kind of in the middle. They kind of go up and down, as most personalities are, I would think. But Peter was very gregarious. He was the outspoken one. He was usually the loud one. I can just imagine if we would compare him to someone in your group of relationships that you have. This would be the guy that was constantly laughing out loud and probably telling jokes, things like that. He was a natural leader. Now, we see on two occasions that are listed for us in the Gospels where his self-confidence and his, you could almost say, cockiness, he was so proud of himself and his position that he would almost defy anyone else to be a better follower than he was. And in fact, that got him into trouble once, you remember, when he said, "Well, Lord, even though all these other guys would probably forsake you, I certainly will not." In other words, that's the level of self-confidence he had. You could almost say pride. And it got him into trouble at times. You know, he was the major spokesman, the major preacher for the group. Well, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. Let's go back and look at an occasion once where Peter demonstrated his boldness and his courage and his confidence, because they were on the water, they were in a boat, and Jesus came walking toward them right on the water. Do you remember this occasion? And, of course, immediately the disciples were wondering, you know, is this a mirage? Is this a ghost? What is this? And finally, Peter saw very clearly it was the Lord. It's the Lord. And so he said, crying out, calling out to Jesus, "Lord, it's you." He said, I know if you want to, you could have me come to you on the water, and you would enable me to be able to walk on this water too. Well, Jesus has him come, and Peter very boldly steps out of the boat and begins to walk toward Jesus. He's literally walking on the water, just as Jesus was doing. And then all of a sudden, you know, so often people start out very boldly and very courageously and very strongly, and then something happens, and they begin to question themselves. They begin to wonder, am I really doing this? You know, how can this be? And Peter begins to look at the storm around him and the water and the waves, and he begins to realize, whoa, what am I doing here? And he takes his eyes off of Jesus. And the minute he does that, he begins to sink. Well, fortunately, he knew what to do. He cried out for help, and he asked for Jesus' help. And Jesus, of course, extended his hand toward him and helped him. And once again, he was saved. He was able once again to deal with the dilemma. Now, I believe that's an excellent lesson for us. We can sometimes feel very bold. As a matter of fact, sometimes new converts are so thrilled with their new faith and so excited, and that's really beautiful. I'm not knocking that at all. But I'm saying that sometimes they get kind of carried away with that enthusiasm to the point where they begin to think nothing wrong can happen, and they begin to think that everything is going to be wonderful from now on. I've bumped into some Christians that way who, when they were first converted, felt, now I'm going to be happy the rest of my life. Now things are going to go well for me. I'll probably get a better job. I'll probably make more money, and I'll probably be happier in all of our relationships. And in that process, they really get bowled over when something negative happens. And they forget, or else maybe they weren't told this when they became Christians. You know, Jesus was very direct with his disciples, and we're going to talk about that next week. But right now, I just want to remind you that he was very direct. He said, you know, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. The point being, you're going to have to learn to do without. You're going to have to be very Spartan. And when he instructs his disciples to leave, I'm once again going to talk more about that next week. He tells them, don't try and take a lot of baggage along, a lot of things. Don't think you have to take a lot of money and you have to be well prepared to leave. He said, just go out. The people that listen to you, they will provide for you. And so he warns his disciples that it's not going to be all fun and games. You're not going to have everything always work out so it's just exactly right for you. I can remember one lady so excited when she came into a Bible class we were holding. She said, oh, I know God is with me today. I know God is with me today. I was over in the shopping center, and I was running late, and sure enough, God gave me a parking space right in front of me so that I wouldn't be late. And you know, the thought crossed my mind. I wonder what she would have thought if, in fact, every parking place had been taken and she was late. Would that mean that God wasn't with her? It reminded me of a theological teacher of a high school nearby, a Christian high school, once came to church, and he said, Pastor, I want to talk to the whole parish this morning. I want to share a miracle. And I said, would you mind describing to me a little bit about that miracle? Well, he said, you know, we kind of live in a floodplain, and all this water has been coming in, and we have all this water, and I went down in the basement this morning, and there was a foot of water. The water kept rising, and as I was standing there, I prayed. I said, please, God, let the water stop. Don't let it go up any higher, or it's going to soak my books. It's going to soak all the boxes that I have up on bricks and blocks. And please, God, please don't let it rise anymore. And I said, well, what happened? He said, well, the water stopped, and the water began to go down. So you see, God answered my prayer, and I'd like to tell everyone in church this morning how beautiful God was in answering my prayer. And I said, now just a minute, let me ask you a question. Suppose that for some reason, only known to God, the water was supposed to increase, and the water continued up, soaked all your boxes, soaked all your books, soaked all the material there. Would you say then that God hadn't answered your prayer? And he just stood there. He didn't know what to say. I said, well, the point I'm trying to make is some people feel that when God answers a prayer the way they expect and what they were wanting, that means he answered. But if he doesn't do it that way, that means he didn't answer. And I said, I, of course, don't agree with that. I believe that sometimes God gives us an answer contrary to what we're looking for. And we need to turn our will toward his will, whatever his will is. We can't dictate to God and then say he answered prayer just because he happened to do what we wanted. So I believe also we need to watch very carefully how we follow Christ. And in this particular case, the boldness and courage of Peter totally disappeared in such a short time because he took his eyes off Christ. Now, there's a saying going around that if you want the help of God, you have to get out of the boat. If you're going to walk on the water, you got to get out of the boat. Now, I think that's a pretty good saying, because a lot of times people will pray for courage and they'll pray for strength, And then they don't step forward. They don't actually begin to take action. And, of course, God wants us to take action. God wants us to mean what we say and what we pray, and he will bless. But we have to keep our eyes on him, or else we're going to be sinking pretty quickly. Now, there's another occasion in Peter's life that I want to refer to, and this very, very bold, courageous disciple. And remember, Jesus certainly loved him, and even though he denied Jesus, and he denied Jesus three separate times, Jesus had warned him, "You're going to deny me three times, even before the cock crows twice, even before morning. You're going to totally deny me." And Peter thought, "Oh, no, never, never." And yet, when the occasion came, Peter was frightened. People identified him, and they said, "You look like one of his followers." And immediately he said, "Oh, no, I'm not. I don't even know him." And then he even took an oath the third time and said, "I tell you the truth, I don't know him." Finally, Jesus, as he was passing through that courtyard, looked at Peter, and their eyes met. And you know, Peter was touched to his very soul, and he recalled the words of Jesus, warning him that he was going to be denying Jesus. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Well, Jesus reinstated him and then asked him three times, "Do you love me, Peter?" And gave Peter a chance to say three times, "You know I love you, Lord. You know I love you, Lord." And in that process, I'm sure Peter recalled that Jesus was reinstating him, forgiving him, and giving him a new lease on life, so to speak, to once again be a true follower of Jesus. So be bold, be strong, but more than anything, never take your eyes off of Jesus. Whether you are in a miraculous situation or not, whether it's drudgery, whether it's joy, regardless what it is, keep your focus on Jesus. He will take care of you, and he will give you the strength. And after all, the faith we have has come from God, and the courage to use that faith and act on that faith also comes from God.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's The Word Today. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.